It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okbanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Monday edition of the show underway. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your Monday is treating you well. It is April 15 of 2024. And for those wondering, sitting on the edge of their seat, because yes, I was on assignment, not here last Friday. I told you I was going turkey hunting. Bird down. Yes. Got a turkey Saturday morning. And thanks to his sacrifice, we got a couple nice wild turkey breasts sitting in the freezer. And that is on the menu for some time this upcoming weekend. So if anybody else was out this weekend, I hope it went well for you. And a couple seasons left this spring. So if you're going, yet to go, good luck moving forward. Had a lot of fun. It's a great time. So there you go. I know people were clamoring for that news, but yeah, it was a good time. And also was able to, by nature of getting things taken care of Saturday morning out in the woods, see a good amount of the final two rounds of the Masters. Scottie Scheffler, man, he is good. And then realizing that Scheffler is only 27, I began to wonder, is he, you know, pretty much cruised to a comfortable win yesterday in Augusta? You know, what does the next 10 years look like for this guy? How much might he be able to accomplish? He could go down as one of the greats of all time with the path that he's on, that he's been on now for, what, at least the past 2 years, if not 3 years? On the PGA Tour, and he's a really likable guy. A guy really bound by his faith, and his wife is pregnant. He said it did not matter where he was on the leaderboard. If he got news that his wife was going into labor, he was going to leave the tournament. Of course, you got to have major respect for that. Thankfully, that child held off that's yet to make its appearance. But also at the same time, as Scottie Scheffler was continuing to build upon an already impressive legacy, he's won two out of the last three Masters and joined a pretty elite club. And having done that, a pretty elite club, and having two Masters wins before he turned like 27 and change or something like that, I had heard this morning. I think Dan Patrick had the stat. I mean, just great company with the stat, from what I remember from Dan's show this morning. Meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, you have Tiger Woods, who made the cut and just, you know, all but limped his way to the finish line, finishing last. And he was in the, what was it, 13 over, 12 over, something in that neighborhood, give or take, that where Tiger finished when all was said and done. And because it's Tiger, I was thinking about this just a little while ago before the show, knowing I was going to share some thoughts on the weekend that was. Because of the nature of Augusta National and the hills that are a part of that course, the up and down nature of it, the undulation, if you will. It's remarkable that he won in 2019. Nothing short of that. I mean, just really something incredible that he was able to put it together for four rounds in 2019. But with a fused back and now a fused ankle, and you could tell he was favoring that ankle, especially in yesterday's final round, I'm not ruling out Tiger Woods could win another major. And I hate to be this guy because, like, don't be the first guy to show up. You know, like the saying goes, don't be the first guy to show up to this person's funeral in terms of, like, the people that were predicting, like, when the Patriots dynasty would end and when Tom Brady would fall off. And Tom Brady never fell off with the Patriots. In fact, of course, he went to the Buccaneers and then won another Super Bowl. Like, and there, like, I remember, like, Max Kellerman still gets roasted to this day for saying, like, 7 years ago that Brady and the Patriots dynasty was over. Tiger's 48, something like around there. I'm willing to say I don't expect Tiger Woods to win another Masters. I do think he could still win another major at the right course. An easier walking course than Augusta National, in which case, probably not another U.S. Open with how thick they cut the rough at the U.S. Opens anymore. I think if Tiger Woods is going to win another major, it's going to be a British Open. I think he could do that again. Albeit, you know, it rotates through the different courses over there. St. Andrews, most famous among them. But given how those majors can be won, they don't necessarily require tremendous power, more finesse, more, you know, you got to be plugged in mentally, perhaps more at the British Open than any other major. Of course, the Masters right there with it, but it is kind of its own beast. So, and this isn't something that I can't recall the last time I talked at length about kind of where I think Tiger Woods is at, but he's obviously one of the most transformative players in my lifetime for any given professional sport. So seeing this play out this weekend at the Masters, where Scottie Scheffler at 27 has really emerged as the next superstar, and he'll, you know, how far will he take this? Like I was talking before. Meanwhile, at the same time, Tiger makes the cut, and I know there was some history there to be made. I think he passed Fred Couples in terms of consecutive cuts made at the Masters, but trying to think, you know, you can't count him out, right? I'm still not ready to count him completely out. But I will count some things out. I don't think Tiger Woods ever wins another Masters. I don't. I would bet some money on that. Not a lot, but I would bet some money on that. I would not bet against him winning another British Open. So if you have any thoughts on the Masters, Tiger Woods, or anything from your sports weekend, hit me up. All sorts of ways to get in touch. You can tweet at us at 1650KCNZ. Well, X, formerly Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. You can send us a Facebook message if you like the 1650 The Fan Facebook page. You can send me an email, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Don't be shy. Fire away. Or you can do it old school. Dial me up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. However you are tuned in, appreciate it very much. All sorts of options. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on the 1650 The Fan app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. All those options also available for you to listen to tonight's Waterloo Blackhawks first round USHL playoff game, game one of potentially three in this first round, all at Young Arena against the Lincoln Stars. More details coming up in area sports news and scores on that matchup tonight. As a result, of course, Cubs baseball flexed over to cruising KCFI tonight. The Cubs beginning a three-game set at Arizona to wrap up this West Coast swing that is making me lose precious beauty sleep. An 8:05 pregame at Arizona tonight over on Cruisin'. That's 12:50 a.m. and 105.1 FM, 8:40 first pitch. It's the rookie, the young kid, Ben Brown, on the bump tonight for the Cubs. All right, here. I mentioned we'll get to area sports news and scores in just a moment. After we're done there, we'll take the first time out, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. It looks like perhaps as soon as this evening, tonight, severe weather could make its way into the area. Some of our first legit severe thunderstorm-type weather of the spring, so pay close attention to that. We'll come back after Megan Mulford's forecast in the second segment and be joined by Waterloo Blackhawks play-by-play voice Tim Harwood to preview that game one of the three-game first-round USHL playoff series against the Lincoln Stars tonight. Looking forward, like always, to catch up with Tim. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back in the third segment, and got some audio to get to. Iowa Women's Basketball Player of the Year, Caitlin Clark, is anticipated to be the number one pick tonight in the WNBA draft. Got some audio from her. Also audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley. He spoke today at UNI's Monday noon press conference as the Panthers will have their annual spring game coming up this Friday night at the Unidome. So we'll get to some audio from Coach Farley. Get some other audio as well if time permits. That's what's planned in the third segment. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Monday and wrap up the show. So let's dive right in here, folks. The UNI softball team rallied to win at Bradley 5-4 in eight innings yesterday. With the victory, the Panthers avoid being swept by the Braves in the three-game weekend series. UNI's Ava Smithson hit a solo home run in the top of the eighth for the eventual game-winning run. The Panthers now 8-5 in the Missouri Valley Conference. Also yesterday in college softball, fifth-ranked Oklahoma State defeated Iowa State 10-2 in six innings, and Michigan scored a run in the bottom of the seventh to edge Iowa 6-5. Yesterday in college baseball, Ohio State rolled past Iowa 11-1 in Columbus. The Buckeyes won two of the three games in the weekend series and took advantage of 11 walks given up by six Hawkeye pitchers. Iowa now 6-6 in the Big Ten and 18-15 overall. Former Iowa men's basketball forward Patrick McCaffrey will use his sixth and final season of eligibility at Butler. The former Iowa City West standout, son of Iowa men's coach Fran McCaffrey, played in 123 games with the Hawks, averaging 8.5 points per game. Butler finished 16-18 last season. Bulldogs were 9-11 in the Big East, finishing 8th in the conference standings. McCaffrey's brother, Connor, is on staff with the Indiana Pacers, of course, also in Indianapolis. Former Iowa guard Tony Perkins has announced his commitment to Missouri. He chose the Tigers over Arkansas, Indiana, Oregon, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss. The 6'4", 205-pound Perkins averaged 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 4.5 assists for the Hawks last season. He started every game for Iowa the past 2 years, shooting 43% from the field and 31% from three-point range. And as I mentioned before, Iowa's Caitlin Clark headlines a list of 15 college players who have been invited to tonight's WNBA draft. Clark, who is the career-leading scorer in Division I men's and women's basketball, expected to go number one overall to the Indiana Fever. 36 selections will be made in all, 12 in each round, over three rounds. The draft begins at 6:30 tonight in New York. It's a busy Monday of Metro Spring Sports and Boys Track. Waterloo West is hosting the Gordy Huska Relays at Memorial Stadium. Cedar Falls, Waterloo East, and Columbus Catholic among the 11 schools competing. In girls' track, Cedar Falls is hosting the Tiger Invitational, Waterloo West and East among the teams involved, and Waterloo Columbus is competing at the Hudson Relays. In boys' soccer, Waterloo East has a home match against Western Dubuque, and Columbus is hosting Denver. In girls' soccer, Cedar Falls entertains Ankeny, Waterloo West hosts Marshalltown, and Waterloo Columbus is at Denver. In girls' golf, Cedar Falls is hosting a quadrangular at Pheasant Ridge, and Waterloo West playing host hosting a quadrangular at Irv Warren. In boys tennis, Waterloo Columbus at Waterloo West. In girls tennis, Cedar Falls has a home meet against Cedar Rapids Jefferson. Sites for the high school track and field state qualifying meets have been released. You can find a complete list at the Iowa High School Athletic Association website. The meets will take place on Thursday, May 9th in all classes for boys and girls. Qualifiers from these meets advance to the state meet set for May 16th through the 18th at Drake Stadium in Des Moines. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released its first boys soccer rankings of the season. Two area schools in the rankings in Class 2A, Appleton Parkersburg is 7th, and Class 1A, Grundy Center Gladbrook Rhinebeck, is top ranked. And the Waterloo Blackhawks begin postseason action tonight, hosting Lincoln in Game 1 of a USHL Clark Cup Western Conference first-round playoff series. The third-seeded Hawks play best-of-three series against the Stars. Game 2 of the series tomorrow night, and if necessary, a third game would be on Wednesday. The entire series will be played at Young Arena. The winner will advance to play two-seed Sioux City in a Western Conference semifinal this coming weekend. During the regular season, Waterloo won three of its four meetings with Lincoln, including both games at Young Arena. Pregame coverage begins at 6:45 tonight here on The Fan. Opening faceoff at 7:05. And we'll talk more about it coming up after this break. Waterloo Blackhawks play-by-play voice Tim Harwood joins us next right here on a Monday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
In the National Football League, the Philadelphia Eagles locked up wide receiver Devontae Smith with a three-year extension that keeps him under contract through 2028. As part of the deal, the Eagles picked up his fifth-year option for 2025, then gave him a three-year extension worth $75 million. $51 million are guaranteed. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid says wide receiver Rashee Rice is virtually participating in the team's offseason program. Rice is attending meetings less than a week after being charged with aggravated assault, that is, stemming from an alleged street racing accident that injured six people last month in Texas. Quarterback J.J. McCarthy's visiting with the Patriots today, and reports say he'll visit with the Washington Commanders tomorrow. The WNBA draft takes place tonight. Iowa's Caitlin Clark expected to be the first overall pick of the Indiana Fever. Guardians topped the Red Sox 6-0, while longtime Yankees broadcaster John Sterling announced his retirement effective immediately.
This is John Walters, voice of the Cyclone.
I missed it.
Get the latest on Cyclone Athletics with Mark Simpson. Weekday mornings, 6 to 8 on Maximum Mornings, right here on 1650 The Fan.
John Sterling.
Panther fans, whether you bleed purple and gold or just love the thrill of the game, your ticket to the hottest college sports action is now available. The incredible playmakers, the buzzer
beaters, that is weird,
and the electric atmosphere of Panther Sports, all at your fingertips. Feel the energy and make memories that will last a lifetime. Be a part of the
action. Yeah, they got somebody.
Order your tickets today.
Join us for a vital community event.
Michael K.
Modeling Matters, what parents need to know and do to decrease stress, worry, and anxiety. On Thursday, April 18th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Cedar Falls High School. In today's landscape, caring for teens' mental health is paramount. The overwhelming influx of information about youth mental health necessitates actionable strategies for parents. Lynn Lyons, drawing from over 30 years of clinical experience and current research, will provide parents with tools. The keynote presentation will be followed by a Q&A session offering attendees an opportunity to delve deeper into the topic. We extend our gratitude to the Cedar Falls Schools Foundation for their generous support of this event. Let's come together as a community to equip ourselves with the tools needed to nurture our youth. Your involvement matters.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Drivers who switch to Progressive have an annual savings of nearly $750. Progressive.com.
Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Cubs playing for their third straight win as they visit the Arizona Diamondbacks today. Ben Brown for Chicago, the $1.20 underdog. Merrill Kelly Arizona -142. The total at Chase Field is 9. That number is shaded to the under. Cardinals $1.75 road favorite at Oakland, 8 under at the Oakland Coliseum. Sonny Gray for the Redbirds, Ross Stripling for the Athletics. Chicago White Sox of the South Side today, $1.50 dog against Kansas City, and Seth Lugo, the Royals, -180. The Bulls hosting the Atlanta Hawks Wednesday in the play-in tournament as a three-point favorite, and they need two wins to meet Boston in the first round. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A wind advisory begins at 7 a.m. tomorrow and remains in effect until 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Chance of thunderstorms tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 52. Winds out of the east 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Severe thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 67. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Currently, it's 78 degrees.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Flips it right back the other way, and here's Mustard for Lindbergh on right wing. To the offensive end, trying to get McEwen turned around. He fell down. Lindbergh centers, open side, Mustard scores! Here come the Hawks! Mustard just had to put that one on an angle off the feed from Lindbergh so that it would go between the pipes. The puck came his way on the terrific feed after McEwen had gone to the ice. Lindbergh had a pocket in the right wing corner, and Mustard bangs it in. He's got goals in back-to-back games.
John Mustard and the Waterloo Blackhawks will open USHL playoff hockey tonight at Young Arena in Waterloo. And Tim Harwood, who you just heard, joins us now to preview this series against the Lincoln Stars. Tim, thanks for being here. I'd ask how you're doing today, but it's playoff hockey time in Party Town. I imagine you're doing quite well.
This is what we all build up for all season. So, yes, it is a great day, even though it's more like baseball weather out there mid-April. It is a great day for hockey at Young Arena because it's playoff hockey time.
Well, how about we first, before we dig in on the playoff side of things, let's look back at this past weekend, a loss at Dubuque and then at home against Des Moines in a shootout. Anything particularly concerning with those results? They were closely contested games. Or is part of that or a good portion of it just, hey, tip your cap to your opponents. They got us.
Well, the game in Dubuque last Friday night was really dominated by special teams. Things kind of went against the Blackhawks. Dubuque had 8 power plays in that game. And that doesn't even tell the whole story because one of those 8 power plays was a 5-minute major penalty that by rights, by rule, should have led to a suspension against Jaden Kerr. Well, the league didn't suspend Jaden Kerr, which suggests the penalty may not have been worthy of being a 5-minute major, but that didn't have any impact on the actual game on Friday night because Kerr went to the dressing room, the Blackhawks without one of their veteran defensemen. And really the Hawks, I think, with essentially an entire period played shorthanded, I think that they were fortunate to be as close as they were in that in that game that finished up 6-3. I should mention, too, besides the 5-minute major, there was about a minute and 40 of 5-on-3 power play time for Dubuque, and they did score during that 2-man advantage. So a lot of special teams, not a lot of flow on Friday, and kind of a game that you throw away. Saturday was an interesting game. You know, the Blackhawks went into Saturday. They were a point behind the Sioux City Musketeers. They needed some help from the Lincoln Stars to leapfrog Sioux City and get into second place to get a bye, which would mean that the Hawks would be off today and would be looking ahead to games next weekend. Hawks didn't get the help anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. They went to the late minutes of the second period ahead 3-0 after a good start, gave up a goal, got the goal back just seconds before intermission. And then in the third, boy, I think a lot of folks wondering just exactly what it was that happened. Des Moines scored 3 times in the first 4 minutes, and then it ended up in a shootout, Des Moines taking that game 5-4. I don't think it's a matter of concern. I like to think of it in a positive way, actually, because it's an indication or should be an indication that, you need a whole 60 minutes,
yep,
regardless of who the opponent is or who the circumstance, what the circumstances are. And good to get that reminder in game number 62 of the regular season as opposed to game number 1 of the playoffs. I'll actually be talking with Blackhawks head coach Matt Smaby as part of our pregame coverage. I'm going to ask him about one of the key details in that third period, and so it's going to be a new answer to me too. I've got my theories about what I'm going to ask him about, but I encourage folks to tune into our pregame coverage. We'll all kind of learn together what it was that kind of was at the start of that period that got a few Blackhawks fans scratching their heads.
Yeah, it made me think actually, Tim, a little bit of when the Iowa State men's basketball team lost its Big 12 regular season finale at Kansas State, a game they could have had, and it slipped through their fingers. And then, you know, look what that propelled them to, which was quite a bit of success in their postseason. So hopefully having that light bulb go off in my brain is a good thought, and it means good things for the Blackhawks here moving forward. One last thought on the regular season, the 62 games that are in the rearview mirror now. Tim, what would you point out and say, this was clearly the most positive, or these were the most positive things that this Blackhawks team demonstrated throughout that large sample size of hockey?
Well, I just think you look back at the start that the Blackhawks had. If you go way back into October, you know, the Hawks lost a couple of games during the USHL Fall Classic. They started the regular season. They lost a couple of early games on the road at Sioux City and Sioux Falls. They were 1-4 at the start of the season. Then they reeled off four straight wins. They got back to 500. They kind of flirted with that 500 mark through November. But by the time you got through the month of November, the Hawks were pretty solidly above 500 the rest of the way. So I think, you know, it was a less than ideal start for a team that had a lot of new faces in the lineup. You know, you think about the defensive group, especially with the exception of Jaden Kerr and with the exception of Keith McInnes, who only played a little bit last season for the Hawks. There was nobody back from last year. So a lot of learning for that group. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the Blackhawks didn't have Keith McInnes for a full season. He pulled up stakes and went back to Canada. So plenty of talent there. Some young players, Landon Nyes comes to mind in terms of some of the younger players that were on this Blackhawk team. Landon was the youngest and among the youngest in the USHL. Michael Phelan, another guy. So for me, I think it comes down to, you know, bouncing back from a start that wasn't ideal and then really getting things in gear mid-season, December, January, February. The Blackhawks, I think, were playing some of their best hockey of the season. But maybe most importantly, it was the growth by that group of blue line players and learning with not much of a net to work with when it comes to experience back on the blue line.
Waterloo Blackhawks play-by-play voice Tim Harwood, our guest right now on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. The USHL playoffs begin tonight, and among the places that they do begin, Young Arena in Waterloo, as the Blackhawks play host to the Lincoln Stars. Pregame coverage begins at 6:45 tonight here on the Fan opening faceoff at 7:05. Tim, is there a particular player, maybe players plural, that come into the USHL playoffs just in great form right now?
Well, hard not to pick Miles Hillman among that group for me. He had a couple of goals in the loss in the shootout to Des Moines on Saturday. I just really love the way that Miles approaches the game, the way he approaches life. You know, he's really mature for a 20-year-old kid. And I think that this is particularly meaningful to him. Now, if you're not familiar with Miles' story, he was a player in the Alberta Junior Hockey League for a few seasons, including over the COVID period, kind of got cheated out of part of his junior hockey career. And that's part of what made him available to come to the Blackhawks at the start of last season for, you know, another year of junior hockey. Had a shoulder injury toward the end of last season that he was playing through, and then had off-season surgery, missed the start of this season. So we're talking about a player who has put in a lot of time at the junior level. And, you know, this is a stage for some players that they're just trying to get through. They want to get onto college hockey, or they feel like their pro prospects are, you know, just going to carry them off for, you know, the rest of their lives in hockey. I think Miles is a little bit more grounded for that. He knows that college hockey is out there. Maybe there are pro opportunities for him at the end of that. But he's really invested at the junior level. And I think that he's a player at the top of my list for the postseason who's going to take this really seriously. And, he's not looking to be off for the summer. He's not looking to be at Nebraska Omaha next fall. He's looking to be a Waterloo Blackhawk for as long as he can be. And no matter what, because he's a 20-year-old, he's aging out. He can't come back next year if things don't work out in Omaha. These are his last junior games over these next days to weeks, maybe month and a half in a best case scenario. So I'm really excited to watch Miles Hillman.
Really any sport, Tim, there are particular things that are heightened in the playoffs. In your experience, what becomes more of a priority in the USHL playoffs to have success?
You got to minimize the mistakes. And, you know, it's easy to say that, but there's extra pressure. And, you know, the key thing is being defensively sound in your own end, not trying to do something that can lead to a turnover and a prime scoring opportunity, a bang-bang type play. That's what I think the Hawks and the Stars, frankly, and everybody else that's playing right now is going to have to adjust to. I think the Hawks have done a pretty good job of that. You know, you'll see the player in the defensive zone who's kind of caught in the corner use the glass to send the puck up and out to center ice. You'll take that clear, especially in the playoffs. You want to get the puck dumped in once you get it to the red line. Make sure that you get it deep, get off, get a change, keep the shifts short. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are playoff hockey games now. So throw out the shootout. There is no shootout anymore. There's no 5-minute overtime. There's going to be a winner in this game, 5-on-5, if it goes past regulation, as the Blackhawks and the Stars have in their recent playoff history. So stamina is going to be a big factor in this one, too. And you're going to benefit from that as you get into the middle of the fourth period if you've done it well during regulation. You kept the shift short, and you've not worn out the players that you're going to rely on in those overtime situations.
The Hawks were 3-1 against Lincoln this regular season, Tim. What do you recall about those four matchups, how the Hawks had success? And asking you to recall those games, the first pair all the way back in October, if I'm not mistaken, the second in early January.
In general, they were pretty close. You know, the Blackhawks did win one of those two games at home back in October by a fairly comfortable score, 5-1. But the game before that was settled in a shootout. Again, no shootouts here in the postseason. Hawks went out to Lincoln in early January and got a one-goal win on the road at the Icebox. The next game, a 5-3 Lincoln win. So, you know, I wouldn't expect a tremendous amount of scoring. When you look at the winning team score, it was 4 or 5 goals. I'm not certain we're going to see that in this series. I could be way off here, but generally I think we're looking at more like 3-2 scores, 2-1 scores, and I do think that they're going to be close as well as low scoring as you size up this matchup between the Blackhawks and Stars. Third consecutive year that Waterloo and Lincoln have matched up, so even though the teams only played each other 4 times this year, they saw each other 3 extra times last year. For the veterans who were on the two teams, it was a 6-game series last season, so there's still a lot of mileage between Waterloo and Lincoln in this series, even if it's not quite as recent as some of the other teams the Blackhawks have been playing over the last 3 or 4 months.
Any final thoughts, Tim, to leave our listeners with? I do know that I saw that there were, at least this morning, tickets available as low as $5. That's a great way to spend a Monday night, to say the least.
Well, yeah, one thing I'd like to remind people about, biggest misconception about playoff hockey at this level. You know, we're not talking about Chicago, where there are 12 million people to fill a 20,000-seat United Center. Still 3,000 seats in Young Arena, and we've had about 48 hours notice to know that there mm-hmm. would be a game today rather than next weekend or on some other schedule. So, yeah, it's tough to get the word out. It's tough to draw a big crowd. It's home ice advantage for Waterloo. We're going to have the right fans in the building. I know that no matter who shows up or how many, it's going to be the right group of fans. They're going to make some noise. They're going to make this a tough place to play for the Stars or anybody else that comes to Young Arena down the line. But the biggest misconception about postseason hockey in the USHL is that, oh, it must be packed. It must be more expensive. It's not. We need Blackhawks fans to come out and make some noise. We know that there hasn't been a lot of time to get the tickets sold or get the word out. So the tickets are cheaper by far than they are during the regular season, during these first rounds, these games tonight, tomorrow, maybe Wednesday if the series goes a full 3. And you're going to see some great hockey. Come out and get a ticket for this game. If you can make it tonight, beat the Storm tomorrow, or come out tomorrow and mm-hmm. do something inside, because it's not going to be an option to do something outside. Either way or both, you're going to see at least 1 or 2 great games and be part of hopefully an exciting start to this postseason for the Blackhawks. But yes, there are tickets available, and there are really, really, really good deals on some of the best games you'll see all season.
Yeah, take advantage of that if you can, folks. And if you can't, you can hear it right here, pregame at 6:45 with Tim. opening faceoff at 7:05. Game one of a USHL first round series. Waterloo playing host to the Lincoln Stars. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll be looking forward to your call tonight. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, Cole.
Tim Harwood, Waterloo Blackhawks play-by-play voice, kind enough to join us on this Monday edition of Cole and Company. All right, let's take this next time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during the break. Come back on the other side. Got some audio from Caitlin Clark to get to. The WNBA draft is tonight. The Indiana Fever hold the first overall pick. And, well, breaking news, not. They are anticipated to select Caitlin Clark with that pick. And we'll hear from Caitlin. Also got some audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley. He met the media today. Panthers have their annual spring game coming up this Friday night at the Unidome. So we'll hear from Caitlin Clark. We'll hear from Coach Farley. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Former WNBA star and ESPN analyst Rebecca Lobo believes former Iowa standout Caitlin Clark will succeed at the next level. The two-time National Player of the Year is expected to be taken by the Indiana Fever with the first pick in tonight's WNBA draft.
There will be challenges, but at the same time, the talent around her is also going to be better. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, in particular on the offensive end of the floor.
It's the final week of spring drills at Iowa State, and Coach Matt Campbell says there's been one significant injury, and it occurred to redshirt sophomore linebacker Carson Willick. The native of Blue Springs, Missouri, appeared in all 13 games last season and suffered an ACL injury early in spring.
You know, Carson's he's done a great job for us already, being a great leader, but he is the one guy that I would tell you we will not get back for the fall next year.
This is Radio Iowa.
Hey, Iowa, how would you like to make a positive impact in your community? Are you looking for a way to connect your passions to a purpose? Do you want to change the world by volunteering locally? When you decide to volunteer where you live, you change the lives of real Iowans. And your fellow Iowans will take the positive impact you made on them everywhere they go. Make new friends and maybe even learn a new skill, all while doing good right where you live. Don't know where to start? Volunteer Iowa has hundreds of volunteer opportunities to choose from, with time commitments that will fit your schedule. Whatever your passion is, Volunteer Iowa can help you find the purpose. Make an impact on your community with the help of Volunteer Iowa. Connect your passion to a purpose at volunteeriowa.org. That's volunteeriowa.org.
A message from Iowa HHS.
Garage Builder. Quality building, accurate estimate, thorough communication.
We could not be happier with Troy and his crew.
Their workmanship is exceptional.
These are just a few reviews for Action Garage Builders. I'm Troy, inviting you to join our list of happy customers. Whether replacing or building for the first time, our team is dedicated to quality. If you need a garage, you need Action. Visit us at actiongaragebuilders.com.
When you've been injured at work, you have rights. But knowing what should happen after an injury or what you're entitled to can be confusing, even if you're already receiving benefits. The attorneys at Ballkirk and Holm know the law, what you're entitled to, and how to get it. We know all the tricks that the insurance industry uses to avoid paying you what you're owed. We'll guide you through the work comp process and make sure that the insurance company respects your rights. Call Ballkirk and Holm for a free consultation.
Ballkirk and Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
The wrongful death of a loved one is devastating. For decades, the local attorneys at Ballkirk and Holm have earned the trust of Iowa families seeking answers and assistance after an accident. Our team of lawyers will guide you through the process of settling affairs and obtaining compensation for your losses. Your family deserves what's fair, and your loved ones deserve justice. For a free consultation, call Ballkirk and Holm or visit us at ballkirkholm.com. Ballkirk and Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I'm Natalie Clapp of Families First Counseling Services. In Waterloo and surrounding areas, we're hiring for the following positions: mental health therapists, behavioral health specialists, and social workers. Be part of a team committed to building a brighter tomorrow. Your skills matter, and so does your journey with us. If you're passionate about making an impact, apply now at families-first.net/careers. Families First Counseling Services of Iowa is dedicated to the process of partnering with families today to help foster growth and success tomorrow.
Knutson Chiropractic in Cedar Falls has proudly been helping the community for three generations. I'm Aaron Knutson. At Knutson Chiropractic, we want to help you achieve your full health potential. We want to not only add years to your life, but add life to your years. If you're young or old, a weekend warrior or a couch potato, we can help your aches and pains. Give us a call or text us or visit us online at KnutsonChiropractic.com. Always up front so you can leave the pain behind. Knutson Chiropractic in downtown Cedar Falls.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Yeah, welcome back to a Monday edition of the show. Cubs baseball flexed to cruising KCFI tonight as a result of Waterloo Blackhawks playoff hockey. The Cubs with game one of a three-game set in Arizona. It's an 8:05 pregame over on Cruisin' tonight. 8:40 first pitch, 12:50 a.m., 105.1 FM. Got some audio to get to. Let's start with the hoops as Caitlin Clark, the Iowa two-time National Player of the Year, is anticipated to be the number one overall pick in tonight's WNBA draft. And Caitlin Clark, in a recent ESPN interview, was asked, how do you respond to criticism that you've received about entering the WNBA?
I think it's honestly like pretty similar to my college career too. I think there's, no matter what stage you're on, if you're at the highest stage, there's always going to be people that are critiquing you. There's always going to be people that are complimenting you. And I think that just speaks to like how I was raised too. Like, you know, I've never been one to like weigh the opinions of haters too much, or, you know, I was told, like, you know, at the level you feel all the praise, that's going to be the same level you feel all the hate. So, like, I feel like I just try to stay right in the middle. And everybody's entitled to their own opinions. But I think the biggest thing for myself is, like, just having confidence in who I am and what I've been able to do with my career. And by no means do I think I'm going to go in there and score 30 points a game. But I think I'm confident in my abilities. And, you know, that's what I'm excited for.
Also in this ESPN interview, Caitlin Clark was asked, what parts of your game or part of your game do you think will translate best to the WNBA?
I think my passing. And I think that's like even the biggest thing throughout my college career too, is like everybody always fell in love with like my shooting or like my scoring. But I've always been somebody that has loved to pass the ball. I think that's something I developed at a young age, just like being able to get my teammates open, be able to hit my teammates in transition. I love to play up tempo. I love to play fast. And obviously going to the WNBA, the talent level around me is going to be really, really good. So it should only make my job easier feeding them the ball.
And Caitlin Clark, what about handling all the pressure?
I think it definitely adds some pressure, especially like you're going to a new chapter of your life. You don't know really what to expect. It's different from college. Like I knew I could play at the highest level with the, you know, greatest teams, the Blue Bloods of college basketball. Like Iowa was always really good during my career, but you know, this is a new chapter of my life and moving on and starting a fresh challenge. But at the same time, everybody's eyeballs are still on you. I think it presents a new challenge and a new pressure, but to me, like that's exciting. That's what I signed up for. That's one of the reasons I left college, is like I think I'm ready for this from a maturity standpoint, from a basketball standpoint. But I know like everything's not on me. Like I'll have so many amazing teammates and vets to lean on and coaches to lean on, and that's what I'm excited about.
The WNBA draft begins at 6:30 tonight. That's on ESPN. From the hardwood to the gridiron, as spring practices are wrapping up across college football, and UNI football coach Mark Farley met the media today ahead of the Panthers' annual spring game set for this Friday night at the Unidome. Coach Farley began his remarks talking about what needs to get accomplished in this final week of spring practices.
Well, we need to make progress in the final week. There's been sometimes that we've closed out and we know where we're at. We got experienced players and you want to keep them healthy going down the stretch. In this particular season, we still need to make progress. Everybody was asking me today, what are we going to do for the spring game and how are we playing them and who are we playing? And my answer was, let's worry about today, because we got to get better today based off what we've accomplished so far, but what we still need to get done. So I just want to focus on the purpose of today's practice, Wednesday's practice, and there's probably a lot more intentional a purpose to that this year than maybe in years past.
Coach Farley followed up that, talking about the progress that's been made this spring, particularly by the new coaches, six of them on the staff.
Getting the coaches ready for the season as much as it is getting the team ready for the season, because it's got to be a unit that pulls in the same direction in a unified way, and they're able to communicate, they're able to think in similar fashions and be able to react and do things instinctively in the same way. But that takes time to get to know each other, to understand what's the expectation as much as what the scheme and the adjustments will be, so you can anticipate some things. But easier said than done. That takes time to be around people, to be able to work in that kind of way and be able to communicate non-verbally as much as verbally, so you're in on the same wavelength. So I'm trying to get everybody to understand what a game is like, how is Luke going to call it, who's going to be the main communicator, how is he going to respond to adversity, just as much as how years past has been, how does a quarterback respond to adversity. We need to find out how coaches respond as well, because we've got some new bodies, new faces out there, and the strengths that they bring to the table, as well as the players.
What's been the most pleasant surprise so far in spring practices, Coach Farley?
Oh, that's a great, you know, without putting a name on it, I'm pleased with where I thought our secondary was going to be at this point. It seems like that one has hit expectations, and at least to this point. We've got a long ways to go, but I'm probably more comfortable there than I was at the beginning of spring ball. I know we have talent offensively in places. It's the depth and the unified effort. I don't even know what word to put on it, the scheme. I'm careful with the word scheme, but it's bringing the best out of the talent that we have and to win now. This is all about winning now. Everybody always wants to use the adage of, hey, I need this to develop and we need this game to get better, and your second game's always better than your first game. And I'm going, man, we got to come out of the gate now, and what we do in the spring is the first season. It's not spring ball. To me, it's the first season. So when we line up for the first time against Valpo, who I believe is the first game, well, that's not our first season. We're going into our second season because we've been through the spring season. So it's kind of creating the atmosphere, the environment in practice that we can find as much about each other as we can.
I asked Coach Farley, given the talent and experience that returns on your offensive line and at running back, how air raid adjacent with new offensive coordinator Luke Falk, who played for Mike Leake in the air raid, how air raid adjacent may this offense's identity become this season?
Yeah, the first thing is define adjacent. And then right after that, define air raid. I mean, everybody's got their own words for this stuff. And to your listener, it's adjacent. Basically, I found it online that USC did it. And adjacent means it's not just pure four wides all the time, throw the ball every down. It's more modern as far as the things that you do in the run game. So to answer your direct question, you know, we've got, you know, Lane Pryor's a heck of a football player. And, you know, if we don't use him correctly, then we're not doing justice to the personnel that we've recruited here. So we've got personnel that we've been recruiting that our region allows us to recruit to. And I've always said that. Recruit to your region. And we've got big, strong, athletic people. Now, when you look at the Iowa recruits, when you look at the Midwest recruits, they're going to be big, tough, strong for the majority. And then you got to find ways to make them successful on the field. So, you know, it isn't like you have a bunch of wide receivers running around, you know, all over the region that we recruit. So our team presents a depth chart that we have to play to. And then Luke Falk is an air raid, dominant, driven coach that we have to play to. And that adjacent probably to me means let's marry those two into a package that becomes our identity, which is the use of the Iowa athlete. I think there's 70 guys on our football team from Iowa. Well, we got to play to their strength as much as play to the strength of Luke Falk and marry those together, and that's the adjacent part. So I don't know the definition, but that's how I define it.
Coach Farley, I know you said earlier that you're focused on today's practice, tomorrow's practice, but when will you make a decision on the format for Friday night's spring game?
pretty much decided we want to play some type of game. I mean, we're bringing in officials, and that's even big. I'm allowed to bring in officials this year, so I need that game atmosphere for the coaching aspect of this and the communication from sideline to player on the field. So I'd like to see that so we can learn from it and get better from it. So I'd like to create the air if I could, or at least find the systematic problems that we need to correct and learn from in the game. So we're bringing in officials for this game. I probably haven't had that since pre-COVID. So fortunately, Bob Bowlesby allowed us to do that. So that's awesome. So I get officials this year, and we're going to take advantage of it. So I'll create the game that I can. Who's on the teams is yet to be decided, but right now there will be a game situation out there because we need to run the clock, move the sticks, call the game as it's played in the game, and learn and grow from working together.
Yeah, that UNI football spring game coming up Friday night at the Unidome. Remember, you can hear UNI football on 93.5 The Mix. All right, let's take this final time out. We'll get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for a Monday. Come back on the other side and wrap up the show.
I'm Chris Sylvester with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Well, 25 teams, including the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, kicked off voluntary workouts today. The program is conducted in three phases, with phase one consisting of activities limited to meetings, strength and conditioning, and physical rehab only. Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins requested a trade after the team placed the franchise tag on the 25-year-old this offseason with the hope of working out a long-term deal. It now appears that Higgins has had a change of heart and says he anticipates remaining with the Bengals in 2024. He told WLWT over the weekend that, quote, "I've grown a love for Cincy that I didn't think I would." Patriots hold the third overall pick in the upcoming 2024 draft and hosted quarterback prospect J.J. McCarthy for a visit in Foxborough today, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. New England previously met with North Carolina's Drake May and LSU's Jaden Daniels. The draft begins Thursday, April 25th. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Good morning, sir.
Look at how dirty the parking lot is. Didn't we have a sweeping appointment scheduled yesterday?
We did.
Well, they must not have shown. Look at this.
Well, they were here.
Are those cigarette butts?
Sir, I suggested A-Line striping and sweeping, but you wanted me to go with that cheaper company.
Oh, man, I stepped in gum.
I'm Les, owner of A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Cheaper isn't always better. Get the best value with quality equipment and staff delivering professional clean service every time. Call us today to make a better first impression.
Spring is here, so farmers will be working night and day to plant the crops.
Out in the field, be aware of power lines, poles, guy wires, and keep a 10-foot clearance from them.
Review with your workers where power lines are located on your property and use a spotter when moving tall equipment.
And if you come into contact with a power line, call the local utility and stay in the cab until an authority tells you it's safe to exit.
The locally owned electric cooperatives of Iowa wish you a safe planting season.
Brownfield has a rich history of providing livestock market information farmers and ranchers want and need. Brownfield's weekly livestock market update features livestock market analysis and discussion on relevant topics pertaining to cattle, hogs, and poultry. Viewers can tune in every Friday to watch the weekly update or sign up for Brownfield's weekly livestock market update e-newsletter delivered on Saturday mornings. Learn more at brownfieldagnews.com.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The competition between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour has been polarizing. Golf purists are disgusted by the 54-hole competition with no cuts. But when you look at how it's affected the players' pockets, the added competition may not be that bad after all. In order to compete with the deep pockets of LIV, the PGA Tours continue to raise tournament purses to maintain fans' and players' interest. The difference has been noticeable. Since the emergence of LIV in 2021, the four most lucrative seasons have been awarded in PGA Tour history. Scottie Scheffler made $14 million in 2021. Victor Hovland made $14 million in 2022. A Masters victory helped earn Jon Rahm over $16 million. And Scheffler was able to pull in over $20 million last season. After a dominating win at Augusta this weekend, Scottie Scheffler looks primed for a third consecutive record-breaking season. And you can give a little bit of credit to the LIV Tour. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Springtime is all about fresh air and freshly cleaned homes. It's also the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security, the only home security system I use, and I recommend it. The system blankets your whole home in protection, has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you visit SimpliSafeDan.com. That's SimpliSafeDan.com. And remember, there is no safe like SimpliSafe.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Got to thank Tim Harwood, Waterloo Blackhawks play-by-play voice, for joining us today to preview this USHL first-round playoff series against the Lincoln Stars. Pre-game coverage coming up at 6:45. Opening face-off at 7:05. Meanwhile, over on Cruisin' KCFI tonight, as a result, Cubs baseball, game one of a three-game set at Arizona, 8:05 first pitch, 8:05 pregame, 8:40 first pitch. Caffeine in the Cubs, it sounds like. That's a wrap for a Monday. I will be back tomorrow at 5. Go Blackhawks!
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.